For those who don't know my story, when I was 12 years old, I was diagnosed with Tourette's and I was on medication for almost 10 years. When I was 21, I learned something called The Secret and I came off the medication overnight against everyone telling me to stay on it, and I had a spiritual awakening. I meditated for 3 weeks straight and my Tourette's disappeared, and I created the podcast to simply preach about everything that most people have in their head but no one ever speaks about, which is what the twitching was. It was too many thoughts inside my head, and now I have a platform where I can speak to people and they can get out what's in their head. So if I could ask and ask a favour from all my listeners, upon looking at my stats recently, it has occurred that out of a very humbling 730,000 downloads since I created the podcast back in 2019, that only 10% of you that listen have actually followed and subscribed to the podcast. If I could ask a massive favour from you all that listen, if you wouldn't mind just hitting that follow and subscribe button, it would mean more than you can imagine, and it really does help the show grow and help reach more people in more ways than you and I can even imagine. The bigger the podcast gets, the bigger the guests get. And my aim is to grow the show big enough that I can reach out to amazing people like Russell Brand, Joe Dispenza, Lewis Howes, Grant Cardone, Joe Rogan, and have deep, intimate and vulnerable one-to-one conversations with them. I want to speak to the human side of people to show we are all the same when you get to the core, regardless of how much money or fame you have. To live a modern life in the modern Western society, that we can live a happy life without money, knowing that even such as buying a tent to live in a field that someone else owns is going to cost money. Because obviously, if you go back to like the tribes where the land's just the land and you're just eating off the land and you're all sharing the same teepee, then you don't technically need money. But in a modern world, is it possible to have this happiness without money? If you're not fortunate enough to live with your parents, for example.
Yes, and I also believe it's possible when you do have money. So what are your values, right? How do you carry yourself? You know, I do believe that we self-select our own experience before we, become, you know, incarnate beings or sentient beings. And we choose our circumstances for whatever reasons or whatever experiences that we're meant to have in clearing up our own karma and live a life more aligned with the Dharma. I know people that have money that are very fulfilled. They give back. They create. They are interested in the highest good. And I know people with money that are absolutely miserable, and they're chasing things down, you know, more, 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 better, 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 faster, faster, faster. And it's not our job to shake these people up and have them live a life that we believe is more aligned with what our intention is. It's to have compassion, to have empathy, and knowing that life, from my own experience, is really an inside job. And what can I do? How do I live a life that's more aligned with my values? Or what are my values? What's important to me? And setting a good example. Setting a good example is having integrity within oneself first. And then if you have an opportunity to share that or support people, you know, then that's possible. But it's all an inside job, man.
Yeah, I always smile at people as I walk past them. I always acknowledge people. Every human, every stranger is a family member, right? Yeah. And, you know, make yourself vulnerable. Other people do too. And what I found is that just by acknowledging that human makes me feel good and it makes them feel good. And so you're living your life where every time you go out, you feel good because you're constantly receiving this attention and communication and connection through strangers. Well, the opposite to that is those are people on their phone, let's just say specifically youngsters these days, that they're walking past this feeling of connection that's there because they're in their phone trying to find that connection. And simple stuff like acknowledging and smiling at another human being.
The only place where I found that doesn't work, Oliver, is in the Czech Republic. Everyone thought I was nuts because I was walking around smiling. And I had asked a waiter at a restaurant that we went to, you know, why do people not respond to that? And he's like, well, don't forget they were under, you know, a communist thumb, an oppressive communist thumb for some time. And it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it was just asking the question and getting a better understanding for what their life experience has been. This past week, you know, I'm month into a program around psychedelic training and integration. It's a global program, and there's 108 people that are part of this. And I love to connect with people. I love to build community. I also have a son that turned 16 today. And we found some folks that are here in Los Angeles that are local to Santa Monica. There's 11 of them, and 8 of them showed up. My son, Hudson, had asked, he's like, "Dad, why can't you pick me up from jiu-jitsu?" And I said, "Well, you know, I have a bunch of people coming over, and I want to make sure that I'm present, so you're going to have to take an Uber home." And he's like, "Okay, I get it." He's like, "Well, if these were your friends that come over for your men's group, right, which, you know, we're all friends," he's like, "you'd come pick me up, right?" I said, "Absolutely. You know, I have no qualms leaving them alone at home." And he asked, he's like, "Well, how many of these people that are coming over do you know?" And I said, "Well, only one. And these folks are just friends that I haven't met yet." And, you know, Hudson took, excuse me, he took the Uber home, walked in the house, and then someone had made a comment about the way that they had carried themselves around the fireplace and around the circle. And as Hudson was walking upstairs to go to his bedroom, and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "Misty, you just need to know that this house," he's like, "we don't judge here. This is a no judgment zone." And then he walked upstairs. So the idea and the concept of building community and connecting with people whose values are somewhat aligned with your own and building and holding holy company and having the ability to discern folks that are energetic, you know, succubi, as opposed to those that are capable of calling us out on our own bullshit and holding us accountable to higher standards and, you know, and carrying ourselves in a way that does set a good example, you know, again, internally and for the rest of the community.
So I'm most people, and I don't pick most people, and I've done something this year, which is surrounded myself with what I would call normal people, nothing like me, just normal people, because I'd never done it, and I was always against it because I'm not normal, and I'm not normal, so therefore I don't want to hang around you. And I do jiu-jitsu, I do badminton, squash, pickleball, tennis, whatever. And what I'm finding is that rather than judging these people and thinking, "Oh, I can see their flaws, they've got so much work to do, blah 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 blah," or "Oh, they're nothing like me, blah blah blah," if you just accept these people as a person, with their flaws and all their good traits, you can get on with anybody. And the people constantly trying to change people to suit their narrative, or, you know, they're just judging people because they're not the way that they think they should be. There's always going to be something out there with everybody, even say a partner that you don't like. And if you just keep pushing people away because of the differences, you're just going to be left with literally no one. And actually, I found that by conquering my fear of hanging around normal people, you have a good time, and often you might have a better time than people that you hang with who you are more in alignment with. Because if you have two similar view, you tend to clash, because you kind of do the same thing in the same way, slightly different, you're going to clash. Whereas if you've got complete difference of views, all you can really say is, "Okay, fine, don't know about that, but I'll take your opinion." And you can actually have an interesting debate and topic, because now you're kind of almost teaching something they don't know about. So rather than them challenging you, they ask you more questions, and you just see different sides to people that you wouldn't see if you just surrounded yourself by the same people.
What I find or have found is that when someone triggers me, whether it's a normal person or someone that's aligned or they're on their own journey or participating in some form of spiritual bypassing or a level of self-importance or self-referentialism, is that there's some aspect of their behavior that reminds me of myself. And so when I find myself in slightly uncomfortable situations or my anxiety goes up with folks that, to your point, are similar, where there is confrontation, I was like, "Oh, this is triggering me because at some point I behave like this." Every interaction in my own experience is an opportunity for self-reflection and introspection. And invariably, I find when I'm triggered, there's some aspect of me that recognizes that and feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's so true. It's either reflecting a trait you don't like about yourself at this moment, or a trait that you had which might make you feel uncomfortable because it reminds you of the old person who you were, which you may not have liked, or you might have done
Right.
so much that seems so familiar that it's almost uncomfortable, because you've that's just not you anymore. And really, it
Right.
does come every time. If it's
Yep.
triggering, it's reflecting a part of you or a part of you that you were, and all it really can say is there's either work still to do, or there's things you haven't let go of or dealt with properly, and it goes back into it's time to now do some self-reflection. And then the next time you should be absolutely fine because you'll become aware and check yourself at that time when you're getting that trigger, and you'll remember it was because of this, and then you won't get triggered. And it's this beautiful journey of self-awareness.
Yes, yeah. It's an opportunity to grow and expand and even transcend.
In America, obviously, everyone's always challenging each other's opinions, and it always relates to, oh, you think that there's just so much wisdom and information out there that it's almost impossible for two people to have a chat about two different things without it going into an argument instead of just respecting the other person's very similar but different opinion on the same choice of topic.
Yes. What I've noticed is it's not an inability to think critically or to include other people's viewpoints. It's a lack of desire to do so. And some of this certainly is by the media. And I'm going all the way back. I suspect that I'm, a little bit older than you. I just turned 50. To the Morton Downey show, which was here in the US. He was very confrontational. The show was way ahead of its time, and that ended up working its way into the news cycle. And as opposed to, news organizations being able to provide unobjective viewpoints, everyone seems to have an agenda. And it's interesting that here in the States, that Don Lemon and Tucker Carlson were both relieved of their duties on the same day. My hope is that we're drawing it back. Now, these are folks that are my own generation, and or my parents' generation. My son has this incredible group of friends that are—they're goofy. They're definitely the nerds in their school. I was walking the dog the other day in our neighborhood. And I saw six of his friends walking down the sidewalk, covered in paint. It's like, what are you guys doing? And someone had walked around the park, which is, probably 3 square blocks here, and had put swastikas all over the place. And these kids were trying to scrub it off and/or painting it over. That's who these kids are. I took a friend of mine to go see a concert in Venice maybe 2 months ago, and the band is called The Nude Party. They're based out of North Carolina. It was probably like seeing the Beatles when when George Harrison was, 16 years old. They were younger than my kids. They were, 22 to 27 years old. And the draw, it was a very intimate show, maybe 200 people in this club. And watching everyone come together, different ages, mostly white folks, but different ages participating in a shared experience that was galvanizing. And the last song they played was called Ride On. And, it's a testament to life. The lyrics from Oliver are he's the singer says, I play in a rock and roll band, I make my living with my mic to my hand. And he changed the lyrics in the show to, we play in a rock and roll band, we make our living with our mics in our hand. And it's like, holy shit, like this guy gets it. It's not I, it's we. And I looked at my friend Ethan and I was like, my friend, I'm like, we're going to be okay. I find that the kids, the folks that are, what, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, even though they've been inundated with social media, even though they've grown up in a digital environment, even though they were locked down because of the pandemic, there's some aspect of themselves, some inner knowing that they need to connect. And I have more faith in our species in being able to include these different aspects and transcending than ever before. And that's a contrarian perspective, but that's been my experience. Somewhat in a bubble. I live in Santa Monica. It's not representative of all socioeconomic statuses, but that's what I'm seeing.
Is it ever a case in life where it's I as opposed to we? Or from your experience, does it always come down to we, no matter what you do? Always we.
Well, it's both. You know, I think I and we is a duality. And in my own experience, I could be wrong about all of this, is feeling some sort of connection to source, some sort of connection to God. And us having an opportunity at an individual level to experience all of life. It's the suffering, it's the pain, it's the joy. You know, without that sort of relativity of when life sucks, we wouldn't be able to appreciate when life doesn't suck. And I view it as source wanting to better understand itself. I don't know that source fully comprehends what its intent is other than experiencing all aspects of life. So it's both. It's the I and the we.
So you think that, you know, as much as pain is really does suck in that moment, it is a necessity in life to really appreciate the good. The same as, you know, we don't appreciate the sun unless you've had loads of shitty rain and clouds.
That's my belief, and it comes all the way back to how we started the the second point of our conversation was being poor and content or being rich and miserable. You know, without being poor and content, I don't know that you couldn't know what it's like to be rich and miserable. There's a reconciliation where we have an experience to include all aspects of the human condition, all aspects of the implicate order and the explicate order, you know, that which is from a quantum perspective, sitting out there in these different fields and then manifesting those into a physical form via carbon. And it's all of it here, now. And knowing that there's that inclusion has begun to bring me some form of peace and understanding and being able to shed a lot of that self-importance. So it's all of it.
So if you could have a life, where it just always goes plain sailing and there's no issues, and you can say the only bad thing in life to fear is the death of a loved one, but apart from that, everything goes smoothly. That life versus a life where there's always a problem, there's a leak in the house, there's an issue at work where salesman Fox obviously find someone else, and you know, stuff like that. You can choose one path or the other, knowing the benefits and the cons from each path. What would you choose?
I would choose the latter. Otherwise, what's the point? If everything was smooth sailing, there's really no reason to be here. It's learning. Now, my own